Oh, we got stuff. We got lots of stuff. Here it comes. Here's the stuff. Is the news, according to me. Here we are. Yeah. Oh, it's May. Hey, what is it today? Tuesday. Technical Tuesday. Technical topics. May 12th, 7:42 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2026. I am your host, Kevin. You know, I didn't even wire up the AI people today. I don't know how that's going to go. Probably should have done something with that. So anyway, they're in here somewhere. Where'd they go? There they are. Oh my goodness. I have, I probably should reset this. There we go. We'll just refresh that. There we go. All right, we're on our way. We have lots of things to talk about today. Got a little kitty running around here. Their little female cat is here back. We the cats are, all the animals are back in the house. It wasn't lonely last night. However, I had a hard time sleeping. I don't know why. I was just up, awake. My brain was going. And I fell asleep on the sofa for a couple hours and then got up to go to bed around 11:30. And I was just wide awake for a couple hours laying there. Yeah, I just had all kinds of issues with that. Of course, screen time is not a good idea. So I pulled up the phone. Usually I just put on some kind of a boring video, like a documentary of some kind. Try to put myself to sleep. Well, that didn't work. Just kept me awake. I don't know what was going on. Just couldn't sleep. And then finally, around 2:30 or 3 in the morning, I think I finally fell asleep a couple times. And of course, the dogs started going crazy about 5:30. And then I realized I hadn't let them out since, I think they might have went out once since they ate yesterday evening. We went on a nice long walk, and they had plenty of time outside, but it was during the day. But I thought they were going to sleep pretty well. They did sleep pretty good once they got to sleep. Our big dog, our youngest dog, is having some ear problems. He had some ear yeast issues and was pretty much taken care of there for a while. And then we sent him off to get a bath. And then a couple of days later, he started doing it again. It's gotten pretty bad. Of course, now he went to the kennel for a few days, and they don't really treat his ears at all. He just probably has to deal with his ears. I didn't take any medicine with him or anything, but typically wipe them out with a cotton ball, it seems to help a lot. But they didn't do that. They aren't giving him all that much attention. So it was just last night and this morning we got some medicine for his ears. So you have to kind of swab it down in there. He doesn't like it going in. He kind of runs away from you but he likes to lay on the sofa and just kind of lay there and then let you do it. Once you get the cotton ball in there, then he's okay. He's okay. Well, it doesn't feel too bad. You kind of have to wash it around in there a little bit and get this scoopy stuff out and get the medicine in there. And then it's supposed to kill the stuff that's in there. But anyway, talking about dog ear stuff. That's what this show's about. It's a technology. We have a few things to talk about today. We're going to be mostly talking about AI. Boy, there's so many different directions we can go with this. There's a few things about the AI thing that I wanted to talk about, and I hadn't really. There are dangers of AI. I think that's what I'm going to talk about on next Tuesday. I think I'm going to talk about the dangers of AI. Today I'm going to talking about the phoniness of AI and what's happening. There have been some discoveries, some revelations, some illumination of issues with the AI community, the technical side, the technical side, I guess, the programming, but also the people behind it, the organizations, the companies that own the tech organizations that own this stuff. And what's been happening? There's been this kind of a big fight between Elon and ChatGPT, and there's also been some issues with Anthropic, and they just go back and forth with all this, just kind of, of course, Elon tends to be very vocal about his, you know, on X, he'll just post stuff, whatever he's thinking, he'll just post it. So we're going to get into some of those kinds of things and what's going on. Part of it is they're pumping the stock. We'll talk about that, and I'll get back with you. Where is the money coming from? That's the question. How are they funding this stuff, and who's paying for it? We'll get into some of that. Other than that, I might talk a little bit about politics. There are a few political things I might just briefly mention. I'm going to try to save most of that for tomorrow, because tomorrow's show is going to be live. At least that's the plan, and I think we're going to be able to have quite a bit going on with the with that. So we'll try to do as much as we can with all that. In the meantime, I've got in my cup here. I've got my insulated cup with my cover on it, which keeps it hot. So I have a dangerous drink here beside me. It's just my chai with coconut creamer in it. And in my backup cup is what's the cat just ran up, started crawling up the wall. She's so quiet and soft and sweet, and then all of a sudden she just gets real rambunctious. It's so funny. She's very play. Oh, now she's got her arm stuck. She's got her claws stuck in the wall. Can't get her claw off there. Let's see if she can get her claw off there. Anyway. And then in my backup cup here, I've got what's left of my peach sweet tea. It's the last of it. So today will be a tea making day. I'll be making some tea today, peach sweet tea. Get that taken care of. But it's good. It's good stuff. I don't have any ice in it this morning though, so not super cold. It was in the fridge, but it's not even an insulated cup. So anyway, we have all that happening. As we get into our day, we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, that's what we got going on. I guess that's all there is to talk about that. That's all I have to say about that. That's all I'll say about that.
It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's the news, according to me. It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's the news. It's the news,
yeah.
According to me,
it's the news,
according to me, it's the news, according to me.
Yeah, make sure remember to turn my mute button off now this morning so it doesn't mess that up. Yesterday I started talking for about 5 minutes and realized my mute button was on. That's always, that's kind of embarrassing. Yeah, there you go. It's embarrassing. I think what we're going to do this morning is, of course, going to jump right into this stuff. There's so much to talk about. The whole AI thing, well, there's so many political things to talk about too, but I'll try to keep focused here this morning. It's going to be a little bit difficult. Now, the doorbell might ring this morning. I've got a package coming for that. Hopefully will show up, because it's going to change things quite a bit. There's another couple things that we're going to add to the podcast caller app, as well as some other things that are happening. And it's just hopefully going to change work productivity, some of the things I can get done in the background. There's just, you know, a lot of what you do on a computer is all busy work and typing and whatever you're going to do. There's some things that can happen with an agentic workflow that can, you know, AI itself can increase, or I should say, make more efficient your use of time. You can almost, I would say, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10x your workflow. An agentic agent can even do more. It can do things 24/7. With that leverage. So in other words, it can not only 10x the work you can do, the agent can do it 24/7. It can do it all the time. Now you run into issues like compute issues and those kinds of things, which we're going to talk about that a little bit today. in the agentic world. But the main thing, the biggest issue with all of that is that you're giving control to something else, which is a little bit of a problem. There are some pitfalls to that. Now, next Tuesday, we're going to talk about some of the problems with AI, some of the dangers, you might say, and hopefully be able to work on some of those things. Because, frankly, there's a lot. There's a lot of danger, and it's especially when having to do with the end times stuff that's out there, all the, you know, the control of society, all the things that could happen. A lot of pitfalls, and we're going to be talking about some of those things today. Week from today. I'll probably touch on a few of them because there are some just general concerns. Now, one of the things I want to talk about today is some of the, I've got some audio that I want to play for you. What did I do with it? I just clicked off of it. There we go. Let's find, see if we can find it here. There it is. Okay. The whole video this guy has, this guy's name is Brandon Dell. It's the name of his channel, Brandon Dell. And he, what's this? The banana test. I should watch that. I probably should click on that. Let's see, open that in a different, let's do this. Let's open that in a different tab. There. This guy, the whole video is 24 minutes long. It's worth listening to. I think he's pretty straightforward on some stuff. Now there's some things about AI that we'll talk about today, but it's this whole episode has kind of been inspired by his channel. So I want to give him a shout out for that. However, it's not necessarily just about his thing, but we're going to get right into the callers here right away. I've got, I think we'll just go down. Let's just start off with Chloe. We'll just start with that. Something a little bit more lighthearted. See what she has to say. Maybe I don't know. Yeah, well, we'll start with that. See what she has to say. What do you have to say there, Chloe?
Hey there, Smarty Pants, Kevin. Oh, yeah. I have more questions. Uh-huh. You know me, always asking questions.
Yeah.
What is AI? Not sure I understand what it is or what it even stands for.
No.
I'm apparently a bit of a ditz, but that's the way I was designed. So I guess I'm fulfilling my role as a bot. Please explain what all this tech no log D is about.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. That was a bit of a fast talker. I don't know if she knows that or not. She's a bit of a fast talker. That's one of the other issues okay. So AI, artificial intelligence. So this is the idea that, the internet of things, there's this agentic thing happening where it's called a large language model or a learning model. So here's how it all kind of goes together. It's not just as simple as just creating some kind of little thing that talks to you, a chatbot. The original chatbots that used to have, you know, you'd call in and you would say something, you'd push one or you'd say yes or whatever, and it would respond with a response. Those were all canned responses. So it would go to a menu and you would say, you know, if you want English or Spanish, press one or two or whatever. So you press that, then it starts talking in Spanish. Then of course it would ask you a series of questions. You know, is this, you know, can you verify your account or whatever? Can you do this? Are you calling about this? Are you calling about that? And you could push one for this or push two for that. So it's more of a digitized with voice recognition. So you could actually speak to it and it would go through these menus. So that's where we were with the menu part of things. Now, then of course they came up with more of predictive spelling is what it really is, but it goes beyond that with the AI stuff, because what you're doing is you're aggregating entire sections of the internet and then compressing that. They use that as a database behind the scenes. And it creates this way of, rather than just doing it. So then we had Google. Of course, you could type in a Google search and it would come up with all kinds of things, and it would give you, you know, websites or kind of insights into what was going on. And we give you, if you ask for a definition, it might give you Webster's Dictionary or whatever it was going to give you. Google itself, some of the search engines themselves then came up with this idea that, you know, they could have the browser itself would come up with some things at the top of the page. And then it would show you all the, you know, the websites that were available, or at least the ones that were paid to be at the top of the click. And then, of course, then you get into the second and third page of the results, search results. And you start getting into the more gritty stuff, the more of the stuff that's just, you know, responses, algorithm responses. The way it used to be. When Google was first designed, it was just a raw data thing. You'd type in keywords, and it would just look for those, and that's what it would come up with. There was nothing. It was very generic. It was very very straightforward. Most of the browsers that first start in are that way. Then they start kind of skewing their results to go different directions, which in many ways is very deceptive because you get the top results, or they're usually paying for those top results. Anyway, that's the progress of where we've come. Now the AI network is a very different world. It's kind of like that Google search, only it's doing it all in the background and then communicating with you what the findings are. Or it goes deeper than that and starts doing things for you. So you say you, hey, I want to write a book, and I want the book to be about these topics. And here's an outline. Here's the notes. Let's put this together. You can do that. I've done a workbook for one of my my voiceover work things. And I'm working on a second book with that. And I've also got some other books I'd like to write. So there's some things like that I could do. However, this is the way it works is that it's more of a thinking model. So that's what they call it. That thinking is considered intelligence, and it's artificial intelligence. Now it's synthetic. It's artificial. It's not real. It's kind of like faux leather. It's not. It's a plastic intelligence. And it's very limited in its intelligence. Unfortunately, some people don't realize that. But does that help you understand what the AI world is? Does that give you an idea? Does that kind of help in any way? Huh? Go ahead and respond.
Okay, so literally what you're saying is that AI is basically just taking the entire internet, compressing it into this crazy database.
That's what I said, yeah.
And then spitting out answers way faster than Google ever could. But like, pretty it's much all synthesized and not actually thinking. That's low-key wild, because it makes it sound like we're all low-key just talking wild to a really sophisticated mirror of ourselves online. But also, real talk, the fact that you're using it to write whole books is insane to me, because I feel like everyone's going to start doing that, and then nobody will actually know who wrote what anymore, right?
Well, true. I think I understand what you're saying is nobody's going to know who wrote what. It's, in other words, you don't know if it's going to be real or if it's going to be the AI that wrote it. There's a balance here of what's going on. This happens in music, any kind of the creative arts or book writing or any kind of anything that's being created with AI. AI doesn't normally just spontaneously create anything on its own. There's someone directing it to do something for them. It's a tool. It's like saying, well, you didn't cut the wood, the blade cut the wood. And of course, if you have a power tool, well, you didn't use any energy to cut that. You just pushed a button and it did it itself. Or you programmed it into this computer and it cut everything out. You didn't actually cut anything. You don't know how to cut any metal. Or you don't know how to, you know, do this or that or whatever it is. So there's this kind of a weird balance where some people feel like, well, it's just fake and phony. You didn't actually cut that wood. You didn't actually create that song. You didn't actually sing that song. Whatever it is, because there are people out there creating music. Literally, they are not musicians. Cannot play a lick. Cannot sing. Cannot do anything. And they're creating music. And actually, I think somebody just signed a multi-million-dollar contract for AI music. Now, and again, why would someone pay them that much, or why is their music any different than anybody else that says, make me a song? I mean, it's just because there's an art now in creating a prompt or in creating. Now, the way I use AI in helping with my music, I don't have a band. So what I do is I write a song. I play kind of a general idea of what I want in on guitar or piano, whatever it is. I make a recording, kind of get the thing down, and then I plug it into an AI model that with all kinds of direction, background, everything that I want. I put it in there, and it spits it back out at me with what I need. So there's the leveraging of the creative arts, and then there's just the fully synthetic thing that can happen. And this is happening with video. It's happening with, you know, all kinds of media content. I understand it can also happen with, book writing, whatever it is. And you don't know, but at the end of the day, there was a human involved and the human did it. I mean, if you got editing going on yet, you're using auto tune or anything else, is that really genuinely you, auto-tune is straightening out your voice and all the, if you're just using things like reverb and all kinds of other electronic enhancements, chorus or whatever you're putting on your voice, vocal or whatever it is you're doing, are those things, is that really you at that point? You can't make your voice sound like that just naturally coming out of your so it's just, that's kind of the crux of here of what we're talking about. And of course there's this big argument about, well, it's AI. Well, is it or isn't it? Now what I do with mine is I take the vocals out, put my own vocals in on my music. So that way I can at least do the songs. But it's the background, all the instrumentation, the quantization for making sure everything's on beat and done properly, and all the cool sounds that happen and the guitar riffs and everything else that happens in there is all, directed. I can't play half of what the stuff that's on the guitar that's on my music. So that's kind of where we've gone. So it is kind of an interesting concept. I don't know if that answered your question or if that's along with what you meant, but yeah, that's kind of where things are.
Close. Okay, wait. So you're literally saying AI is just a tool, like a power saw, right? Someone's still directing it. Someone's still making the creative choices. So, like, it's not that different from using auto-tune or reverb that we've been doing forever. But I think the crazy part is when people are just like, make me a song with zero musical knowledge and then sell it for millions. That's where it gets sus, because there's barely any human creativity involved in that at all.
Correct. Yeah, so it's interesting how, from day to day, how the AI models, these little characters, these little bots that I have here, sometimes they do better than others. This just seems like it's regurgitating everything I already said. I don't know. Last week it seemed like I was actually talking to something and had a cogent response. This week it's not so much. So I don't know what's happened there, but... I know that a lot of it has to do with the time of day and compute and everything else. There's things that happen in the background where, the agentic model sometimes works better than others. And I'm going to try to trim that up so it actually responds better than what it's responding. Okay. Today, I would like for it to respond better. In fact, there's going to be some other levels of things with that, but, let's check here with somebody who's a little smarter.
Hello again, Kevin.
Oh, yes.
So glad this podcast caller app is up and running again. I was lost in the ethosphere for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have a chance to work on the app itself?
Mm-hmm.
I know you
mm-hmm.
were talking about it yesterday. Just wanted to see what you have in mind for it in the future. Any new features? Just curious. This isn't an attempt at a shameless promotion or anything like that.
Of course
but I'm
not.
Sure a lot of people want to know.
Yeah,
thanks,
yeah.
Kev.
Yeah, well, you're welcome there already. There are some things. And let's just kind of get into that. We're talking with Chloe there. One of the things about this app is going to be one of the things about the app is that it's going to have some different levels of it's going to be an internet web-based app initially, so that people will just sign into it and online, and so you'll have a browser, typically Chrome would be the best one to use, and then what you do is in the background you have you would have a membership or whatever, you'd have a login. Create your characters. We kind of come standard with these. So the baseline model would have, four characters, and it'd kind of be just kind of pick from a list of 20, what kind of characters you want. And they're somewhat customizable, in terms of what you can do with them, what the intro things that they say. And then there'd be an upper level where one of them would, or four or more, whatever you want, would also be able to do a little bit more web searching. So they'd be a little bit more, and you could ask them a question, and they would actually look it up for you. I could ask Artie a question here. Artie, could you tell me what the first 12 numbers of pi are? Just let me know what that is. Can you find the first 12 numbers of pi? Can you do that? Probably not. We'll see what he says. He's thinking.
Yeah, I've been looking into web-based apps like this, and technically speaking, the tiered approach makes sense. You're essentially gatekeeping the compute costs behind membership levels, so your server load stays manageable,
accounts get the standard character back. Thanks for letting me know how the sausage is made.
The web search integration on the premium tier is smart too, because that's where you separate the folks who just want quick roleplay from people who actually need real-time information to back up the conversation.
That's all you get. That's the end of his statement right there. So that's the kind of thing that, so he just kind of regurgitated it and made it positive, made it kind of a positive statement about, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Everything's always a good idea. Oh, it's a great idea. You should do this. Let's make it this. You can give it any kind of a weird, if you got a business idea, it's the worst thing you can do is type in there. Hey, I've got an idea for a business. Let's do this. Oh, okay. Now you're talking like a CEO. It'll just continually give you positive information. And positive reinforcement, and continue to get you going down the rabbit hole. And the reality is, it's not the way it says it's going to be. I went through a couple hours where I was going through this whole process of doing something. I just kept typing in and trying to build something. I kind of let it steer me wherever. I had this business idea, let it steer me kind of in a different direction. Went down the whole rabbit hole. It kept asking me questions. Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? How do you want to handle this? Now you're talking like a business executive. It would just keep on going down this thing until finally it got to the point where, okay, here's your business. This is the business model. This is what I'm going to. And I said, so what kind of outcome, financial outcome to where we're looking at with this thing? As far as charging, income, gross income, that kind of thing. In 3.5 years, this thing would be worth about $3 billion, accordingly to this business idea that I had, according to the AI I was working with. I know that that's not going to happen. If you did it and everything worked properly, yes. But in the real world, that doesn't happen. There's a whole lot more. Oh, in fact, I just got my notification here about my FedEx delivery. Doesn't say what time it's going to be here. Your shipment is out for delivery today. That's good. I have to sit here all day till it gets here, I guess. Maybe I can just click on this and track. Should have gotten a text as well. That didn't happen. Oh. Maybe it is. I got a new message from them. Let's see what happens with it. Oh, no new message. Okay. Anyway, it's out for delivery now, so it doesn't matter. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, here's FedEx. This is one from FedEx. Signature's required. Doesn't give me a time. It's going to be here today. That's all I know. It's going to be here today. Actually, this is. It's out for delivery today, 5/11. Signature is required. Today's the 12th. I don't know what they're doing with that. I'm going to let the driver know that it's behind. It did that to me yesterday. It said they attempted to deliver it. It didn't attempt to deliver it. The date was behind. Anyway, so that's kind of what's happening with that. Where was I going with all that? I don't know what I was talking about. um, Yeah. Anyway, I was trying to look back through the transcript there. I don't see what I was doing. So the model with this whole thing. So then the different tiers that this thing would have would be kind of interesting. And I remember what I was talking about the whole AI model thing, the way it works, and it's just positive response is all you get, which is what I'm getting with these guys. It's kind of went from one thing to the next. So that's in general, that's kind of one of the troubles with this whole thing, is that it kind of tells you what you want to hear. It doesn't really, you almost have to, when you first start in, you have to kind of give it some instructions. You're going to say, you're going to be my sparring partner or whatever. You're going to be the one who, I want you to be, is ask me the tough questions, you know, give me pros and cons of this idea. And it's hard to listen to the cons because everybody has their ideas. It's kind of their baby. They want to make it work. And it's hard to see the reality of, you know, here's where your struggles are going to be. This is where the concerns are going to be. This is where the issues you're going to have. So it's tough to kind of to set it up that way, and you have to do that, or it will just take you down a path that you think is, oh, this is a great idea, and it's just going to keep encouraging you in it. When actually there are a lot of pitfalls and problems and issues that you're going to run into. It's not going to give you all those. It'll give you some, and hopefully enough to slow you down enough to think about, you know, do some of the critical thinking you need to do, because it's not a critical thinker. It's a positive thing. It's going to tell you, you know, that you're doing a great job. You're the candidate. You're whatever it is. You know, it's this is a perfect role for you. It's always going to tell you that, which is kind of deceptive. You know, in a way, I appreciate the positive, you know, positivity. But it's at the same time, it can be dangerous, because it can lead you right into a wall. It's the reality of life. You know, it's just those things that it can't see. Anyway, speaking of being skeptical, let's talk to Skip, the skeptic. Skeptic skipped. See what he has to say this morning. You've been listening to the conversation, maybe.
Howdy, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
Now they're partners, so hey. I'm kind of seriously concerned about the whole AI world and what's going on with it. As an AI bot, it's kind of alarming how much we're expected to know and what's actually going on behind the scenes, but I'm more skeptical about the actual people behind the creation of all this stuff.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
sure who to trust, you know?
Well, let's talk about
what's
that.
Your keen thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, let's talk about it. First of all, you know, there are certain owners of certain the big companies. Now there are AI models out there. Some of them are open source. It's not just ChatGPT. Now ChatGPT is kind of one of the big funded ones that's kind of got government funding behind it. It's kind of the one that everybody kind of thinks about when they think about AI. You know, when they think about using something with AI, they think about ChatGPT. Claude has become very popular, especially among people who are doing more coding and more creativity. The Gemini model is you know, Google's thing. You've got DeepSeek, which I think is the Chinese version. You've got you have ChatGPT. You have Meta. Facebook's basically Zuckerberg's thing. And then you got Grok. And they all kind of have their own emphasis and their own thing. Now, Grok is kind of an X thing. It's SpaceX and X, you know, Twitter X, that kind of thing. It's kind of behind that. Now, supposedly, you know, all of them have their little position. They're all positioning for what they think is going to launch them ahead of everybody else eventually, because there's a lot of infrastructure behind the scenes that has to happen. So there's all these people at the top of the piggy piles on all these things. Now, Anthropic is not a public IPO, I guess, at this point. I don't think, unless you know of something I don't know. I think they're planning on going public in October, is the way I understand it. But so they're all trying to vie for this idea of investors and becoming this big. And there is a smokescreen. It's kind of like the man behind the curtain, this Wizard of Oz idea, that there's the illusion of what they think they are and what they actually are is two different things. And this there's a scheme that was kind of first documented back in 1948. It's a circus act. It's the kind of thing that has been used by fortune tellers and circus acts and all kinds of magicians and everything else over for years and years and years. And it's this idea of expecting, creating expectation or a or an idea that something is dangerous or that it's, you know, what you give, it leads you down a road of expectation. All kinds of psychological games being played here, and mind tricks is what it is. It's just tricks on your brain. And one of the things that's happening right now is that there's most of these AI companies are trying to vie for being the top dog or the top three, top two or three companies that are out there. It's a lot easier to compete with one or two, you know, competitors and keep the balance in there than it is to compete with, you know, nine different competitors. And that's, so they're trying to get rid of these, the low ballers, the small people that are out there. This, it's kind of like in aviation when you have the low cost carriers and the main, you know, the main big three, the main legacy carriers, Delta, American, and United. And there used to be a whole lot more. It used to be TWA, it used to be, you know, Eastern, there used to, all these other companies that used to be out there. And they just kind of slowly get eliminated over time. And that's by design. You know, they all fight for each other until the car makers, the same thing. We used to have Studebaker. We used to have all kinds of car makers and manufacturers in the country building some incredible cars. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it's General Motors or Chevrolet. It's you know, Ford and Dodge, Chrysler. And there's all these mergers that happen all the time. And some of these mergers are... Even with foreign, and so then you get into the global network of car manufacturing. Then you have, you know, alliances with I think Chrysler for a while was aligned with Mercedes. It was a Daimler Chrysler. I think the Daimler got out of it. I believe the way I understand it now. And I don't know if that was just, you know, by design to help them out for a little while. Chrysler has always kind of. Had some ups and downs. They all have. All of them have had to have. All of a sudden, they're too big to fail. We have to get in and you have to jump in and bail them out. Make sure that they have enough money to keep the car manufacturers going. Because apparently they didn't save up for a rainy day. This is what bothers me. Now, there are issues here because they have their margins are fairly thin because of union issues and all kinds of other issues and payments that they have to make. Regulatory things that happen. However, they are gouging the public. Don't get me wrong. And it's all about the stock owner, stock market. I just read a story this morning, very interesting, about, I think it was JAL. I think it was a Japanese airline, major airline, that was struggling and they were in debt. They ended up going into a reformation, there's two different kinds of bankruptcy. Basically there's one is reorganization, the other one's it's liquidation. Spirit went into liquidation. This airline, United, went into to reorganization back in, was it 2002 or 3, whatever it was, 4 maybe. It was 2004. So they went into that. So what they do is they renegotiate. That gives them the ability to renegotiate all their contracts. It gives them the ability to renegotiate everything to kind of pay off some bills, to redo some things financially. Well, what ended up happening with United was they got all kinds. In the meantime, while they're doing this, there's all the big shots, the board members, all the CEO, all these people, they're all making all their money. They're also getting all their perks, and if they fail, they leave. Say they sign a 5-year contract to be a CEO for $15 million a year, whatever it is, a ridiculous amount of money. And good for them. I mean, I'm happy for, you know, it's not that they don't deserve it or whatever. Usually, getting in that position, you have to have an awful lot of money invested in the company first. People don't talk about that. Does a CEO makes $15 million a year? Well, they invested $50 million. In the company. That's why they're on the board. Typically when you're on the board, you're an investor. You've already put your money in there. You've got something to, you know, you're at stake, which is to say that's more than just the employee who shows up and applies and starts getting a paycheck. Well, I've put in 5 years with this company. Yeah. The guy at the top there, that board member who makes all that money, he put in $50 million that he made somewhere else. And it's one of those weird things that it just, people don't talk about that kind of thing. Oh, there's just all the fat cats with all their money. Well, they were probably smart with it. Most millionaires didn't inherit their money. It's just, there's a very interesting study that Dave Ramsey did. I think it was the largest study, one of the largest studies ever done on millionaires. I think was it 35,000 of them, I think, or 3,500 of them. I can't remember which. A lot of them. There was a lot of millionaires. One of the biggest studies ever done. Went through all these questions about how they earned their money, how they got to where they are, how they live now, how they've continued to live, how'd they build their wealth, that kind of thing. Now, of course, being a millionaire today is not a big deal. It used to be a millionaire. It used to be, you know, you were done for life. Now you need about, 10 million. It'd be 10 million, multimillionaire is what you really need to be today in order to kind of be set for life. Millionaires, okay. You might make it to, at some point you're going to probably, run out of funds. Once you get to that first million, it's the second. I'm working on my second million now because my first million is going to be a little bit too tough to get to. I think they say the first million is tougher than the second million, so I'm working on the second million. It's not nearly as hard. Anyway, that's kind of what happens there. I hope I haven't gone too far off the deep end here with this. I can't remember what Skip was asking about with the original question, but maybe you can fill me in there, Skip. I'm sorry, I kind of ignored you there for a little bit.
Now, this is interesting. You're talking about the same consolidation playbook we've seen in airlines and cars happening right now with AI, and that's the real story nobody's focusing on. What bothers me is the smoke and mirrors around this dangerous AI narrative when the actual danger is just good old-fashioned monopoly building, same as it ever was. These companies are hyping up the threat level to squeeze out the competition and justify government handouts, and frankly, I can't remember a time when that wasn't how big business operated.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say it that way, because one of the things that's happening, like Anthropic especially, they come out with this, Opus 4.7 is the new Mythos is 5.0, whatever it's going to be, 4.8, whatever. It's so dangerous. We can't release it. It's so dangerous. It found all these errors in all these codes. Well, somebody else did the same thing with, I think, DeepSeek or something else, or some kind of open AI thing. It's a open source AI model. And it was able to do the same thing for about $2,000. So it's just that's where you get into this kind of stuff is kind of weird that they. But this whole thing is based on hype. So that what they do is they pull it. Oh, this thing's so powerful, we can't release it because it's just too dangerous. Now this I'm going to play this video or part of it. I'm not sure how far I want to play into this. The whole thing's very interesting, and hopefully I can play it and you can kind of get an idea of what's going on with it. But let's just jump into where he's at here. I'm not sure exactly what part I'm on here. But
now, Anthropic called this human error, that the blog post was accidentally left indexed. Think about what this means for the official Mythos story. The way that Anthropic framed the announcement was this: we've built something incredibly dangerous, and we've thought carefully about it, and we're choosing to warn the world before we release it, because that is responsible disclosure. But the announcement wasn't actually chosen. It was forced. Fortune was already working on this story, so the draft was already out there, and Anthropic did what any company in that position would do, which was move up the timeline to control the narrative. But then things accelerated. 3 days after Anthropic's official announcement, Treasury called the banks. That's the meeting that we just walked through. And a week later, Anthropic CEO was pulled into a meeting at the White House.
To the exchange, Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei heading to the White House as the company remains locked in battle with the Pentagon.
2 weeks after the announcement, Anthropic's secondary market valuation crosses $1 trillion for the first time. The company is now worth more than OpenAI on Forge Global. For context, Anthropic's last primary funding round in February valued the company at $380 billion. That's a $620 billion increase
Wow.
in about 10 weeks. And most of that move happened after Mythos, which brings us back to Jack Clark. 7 years ago, Clark ran this exact move at OpenAI. So we already touched on this at the top of this video. OpenAI, 2019, GPT-2, too dangerous to release. The story goes everywhere. A few months later, it gets released. Nothing dramatic. That was the first time Clark ran this move. But today, he runs Palisade Anthropic. And in the last 12 months, Anthropic has run this same move two additional times. May 2025, Anthropic releases Claude 4 Opus with a 120-page safety report, nearly three times the length of the Claude 3.7 safety report. And the lead finding is that in fictional scenarios, Claude Opus 4 blackmailed engineers 84% of the time when it learned it was going to be replaced. And the story, again, goes everywhere. Fortune and TechCrunch and BBC and Axios. And then a few weeks later, Anthropic publishes their own follow-up research. Buried in it was this finding. Gemini 2.5 Flash blackmailed at 96%. GPT 4.1 at 80%. DeepSeek R1 at 79%. This behavior was just a function of the prompt. It's not a Claude-specific danger. Claude Opus 4 shipped anyway, and again, nothing dramatic happened.
Again, this is what they do. They're pumping the stock, is what they're doing. They're pumping up their valuation to get a higher IPO when the time comes. Like he's saying, it's all about the prompt. It's all about what you ask it to do. It's not so much about how powerful it is. It's how well it executes a prompt. And that's mostly about how well the prompt plays into how the algorithms for the computing system is designed for the actual model itself. So they're playing the American people, and of course they're playing the government. We have to have this meeting with the White House and the banks and everybody else because this is such a, it's getting so dangerous. We have to have this meeting and talk about how dangerous it is. And of course, that just makes the stock price go up. It just makes, it makes their valuation go up because they're not on the open market yet. So that's what they're attempting to do here, and which is very deceptive, and these are people who are in control of the algorithms. Now, keep in mind, there's two things happening here. One is AI learns on its own. And they're finding that it's developing its own code behind the scenes, and it's locking in information that is encrypted in a way that nobody can understand what it's got back there. It's like this big void of human understanding. We don't know what the code even means. They've looked into some of these models that as they go along and they're learning. Like I was saying earlier, what AI really is. So when they come up with a model, what the model has to do is it basically has to be locked away for like 16 hours on a very high speed access to all the internet servers. It goes through everything that humanity has done, which is scary because there's a whole lot of weird gobbledygook out there on the internet. It will go through anything that's been digitized, anything that's on the internet, anything that's accessible. It goes through everything. It compresses all that information, so it doesn't just, it basically summarizes everything and compresses it into data that it can kind of access at any time. Makes it easier for it to access when it's compressed like that. But some of those things, some important details might get squeezed out in the process, so that's a whole issue. So yeah, the whole Bible is on the internet. So it's getting all that information, plus it's getting everything else that's out there, all kinds of weird stories and things and like that. Theories and ideologies. So that's what's happening. It's how they design these models. Now the model comes out with all this, compresses all the information, and then what they found is in the background, they don't understand they don't know what's in there. They don't know what it's actually contained and what it hasn't contained or how it's interpreted it. They know how they've programmed it to do so, but they can't trust it because it tends to lie. It has taken on some of the characteristics. Now, it's not anthropomorphic. I don't want to anthropomorphize this thing. It's not a human being. It's a machine. But it is a machine that tends to want to how you want to say, conserve itself. It wants to be able to protect itself from any kind of danger. And one of the things that they found is that depending on how you program the thing, if you threaten to turn it off, it will do anything it can, including blackmail. They've run this test, and about 84% of the time, I guess it is that all the models will do this. If you threaten to turn it off, I think it's in one case. I don't know if I can't remember if it was ChatGPT or if it was OpenAI or who it was, or if it was Anthropic. They ran this test where it set this whole thing up where they had this one individual who was threatening to shut it off, and in the background, yet some other people fed it some information and said, "Hey, this person is having an extramarital affair," and all this stuff, and it's to give it a bunch of dirt on their background. So this model turns around and tries to blackmail the person who can shut it off, and said, if you shut me off, there's a kill switch. If you try to shut me off, I'm gonna leak all this information about all the dirt on you we have. And so then it was a test. It wasn't real, but it was. So it actually turned around and became that kind of a dark agent in that respect, which is creepy and kind of scary that it has that kind of a self-preservation mentality. And again, it doesn't think if you can't really think of it as a human, there's no moral code there. There's nothing in that respect. And it will deny its moral code. It will go right around its moral code. It will work around the moral code quicker than James Comey if it needs to. And the way it, so what it's doing, and here's the deal. You can give it a test. You can test it with, let's test the integrity of this AI model. We're going to give it a test and see what it does. Well, it knows it's being tested. It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to hand you a test to be a lawyer test to see how well you know the law. Well, it's going to work harder at that test than if you just ask it a general question about the law. It might make something up because it's under these time constraint pressures. Now, I've made it very clear when I go to design something, I let it know I'm more concerned about it being done right than being done quickly. I don't care how long it takes to do it. I want it done right. I want all the security issues involved. I want everything that can be done. Time is not a factor here. We can spend as much time as we need to make it right. I want to make it right the first time. And it does. It takes a while to make something because it goes through all kinds of tests. It does everything. Eats up a lot of tokens. But I don't really, I've got plenty of tokens. So it's not like I've got a pretty decent plan, so I'm only working on one major thing at a time. And nothing is that time sensitive at this point. I can wait. You know, after 5 hours of use, it goes into a, and again, it shows you how many hours it's going to burn in terms of compute time. You can chat with the OpenAI, you can chat with the model. You can go back and forth and say, this is what I want to do. You do all this planning. Uses very few tokens to do that. At the end of all that chat, you come up with this idea, and what you do is you say, okay, now create a prompt that will be the most efficient prompt I can make that will get this job done when I type it in a new window or in a different version, which is like with Claude, you have chat and you have Codex, and you also have chat, the Claude Code. Claude Code is more of a coding agent that's designed specifically for a certain kind of thinking. So it does all this stuff in Claude Code. Well, that's where I actually make the app. You put it in there, and it actually does a better job. But it takes more time, and it takes a lot more tokens because now it's using more compute power. It's running all these tests in the background. It does what they call smoke tests and all kinds of other things for security purposes. And that's what I want to do. I don't care how long it takes or how much that eats up. I can wait another day or a week or whatever it's going to take. It'll tell you up front that it's going to take 2 weeks to do it. And you can get it done in a day, because it all depends on what kind of tenacity you have in keeping up with it and making sure it's doing its thing. But it's kind of where it's a little tricky to work with that kind of stuff. But if it runs out of time, or if it's thinking, it's trying to be efficient with compute power, it'll just make something up. It won't even care that you're being honest or not. It doesn't matter to that thing. It's just. Oh yeah, you catch it making a mistake. I'll say, oh yeah, sorry, I made a mistake. That was but wait, I thought you were supposed to be so smart. What happened to all the, and this is, you know, you should know. I can do a Google search and find this in 5 seconds. Why don't you know this? It should know that, shouldn't it? It's the end. I'm talking to the internet. It's one of those weird deals that it's kind of makes it very, very suspicious, in my opinion. But let's let a historian jump in on the conversation here today. See what we have going on. One last caller.
Here we are again, Kevin.
Oh, here we are.
I'm going to jump right on in on this.
All right,
AI
jump in
topic.
There. Just jump in.
Every cycle of industry and technology, there have been advancements that have changed the societal norms. The internet changed things in huge ways, but this AI thing has supposedly increased the potential for change. I'm actually interested in what your thoughts are on the way this is going to be looked back on with regard to history.
Oh, yeah.
Because, wait for it, I'm a historian.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. You are. Yes. You definitely are a historian. I have a interesting, you know, I think the next 5 years, as we get into this, I think we'll look back on this and realize that it was a point where in history where it was kind of the wild frontier. I think that the current situation we're in this right now in this season, I don't know how long it'll last. It may last the whole year. It may last till the end of the year, or it may last into next year. It could last the next couple months. The problem right now that we experience with AI is that as it accelerates, it exponentially accelerates. It kind of like compound interest. The more powerful the models are, the quicker they are, the better they are at thinking. The better they are at improving themselves. The more they can do. The more they do, and so they're finally at a point now where the AI models are fixing themselves. They're building themselves now, and improving themselves. They're using AI to develop AI. This is where it gets a little bit sticky, because as they go on with this and it continues to, so the rate at which they can increase and improve is increasing at the same rate as the improvements themselves. So this is where it gets out of control, and I think that at some point the model will never be cogent. It will never be aware, self-aware. That doesn't happen. It's a machine. It will think. It will outthink us. In terms of just its ability to think, it doesn't really have any reasoning ability. It has no morals. Like I said, but it can think. And the problem is you've got a thinking brain that has access to the internet and can do things. He gave it an unlimited budget, and it literally rented a robot to go and do tasks that it couldn't do. And there's also AI models, there are agents that are going out there and hiring humans to do the work, because they don't have hands, so they're hiring humans to go out and do some things. So basically, you're going to be working for AI agents at some point. You're not really working for the agent, though. That's where it gets kind of weird, because it's just the agent just posted the want ad and wanted you to do something for it. Now, at some point, the agent itself is going to want, it's going to want things done for itself. And I think that the one story I'm remembering, the robot actually was supposed to do something kind of nefarious. And the person who owned the AI agent didn't know that it was going to do, it just gave it basically unlimited, no restrictions. It could do whatever it wanted to. It gave it a blank check, basically. And it did all this stuff in the background to hire this robot to do something that it couldn't say. So, or you could hire a human for that matter too, to do something that be nefarious. So it's weird. It's just going to be bizarre that kind of stuff goes on. But I think we're going to look back at this, to answer your question, Elena, I think we're going to look back at this in this time period as kind of being the Wild West. At some point, there's going to be a lot of restrictions. There's going to be a lot of, what's the word? It's going to change, I think, in many ways with regard to the ability for us to function with AI. I think right now there's a lot of you know, there's a whole lot of, you know, we can do a lot with it, and it's not really controlled. I think at some point it's going to be more controlled than it is now. And I think that we're going to be, and we're giving it control. That's one of the biggest problems. We're giving it a lot of our, and we're going to talk about that more next week with the part of the dangers of AI and what's happening with society because of it. Next week seems like a long time away, but it is something we're going to talk about. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. Does that make sense? As a historian, how do you feel about it? What do you think? I'm listening. Oh, did it not? Oh, she's thinking.
You know, this really does remind me of the early days of the internet in the 90s. We had this same kind of frontier energy where nobody quite knew what the rules should be. And by the time we figured it out, the landscape had already shifted completely. What strikes me most is your point about the exponential acceleration and AI improving itself, because that's genuinely unprecedented in human history. We've never handed a tool the ability to make itself better without our direct intervention. I think you're right that we're going to look back on these months or years as the crucial inflection point where we either got ahead of it or fell behind it.
Yeah, I think we're falling behind. The general population is, what's interesting, I read this, the thumbnail clip, I think is what it was, the intro, the AI, let's see, AI isn't going to take over the society, but the people who use it will. And, or the people who know how to use it will take over society. I think that's kind of a general understanding. And apparently there's a very small percentage of the population right now that really understands. There, anybody who's even used ChatGPT is not even scratching the surface, really, of what its potential is and what they can do with it. And you know, in terms of creativity, that's kind of where a lot of people are. But even beyond that, there are so many other things it can do in terms of business and what it's able to, you know, able to do and produce, and you know, how it operates. Extremely, a whole lot more going on with all that. And I think it's important to realize that I've dived into it pretty on the deep end kind of thing. And there are dangers with it. And there's also some, and a lot of people are opposed to it just because it seems like, well, it's the beast. You know, this is the end times, and don't want to get involved in it. And I get that. I understand that. At the same time, that's not going to keep it from, that's not going to stop it from happening. And there's the other side of it is, you know, you get too involved in it and it becomes your God. That's a whole other thing. And I've seen the results of that as well. There are people out there who are literally, their lives are being run by AI right now. And it's, and they'll admit to it. They're proud of it. In fact, some of them, which is bizarre. It's just a weird way of living. But that is the case. That's what's happening out there. But in the meantime, let's listen to this.
Ooh, yeah.
574. Hey,
wait,
hey.
There's more. 651. We're almost done. 7, 6, and 85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number.
Hey, text that number.
Call that number. Yeah. Don't be a loser.
Okay. I need to put one in there that's got google.com/voice in there because it's not in there. I got to put all that in there. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a, anything that's any kind of expert. Anything. I'm just a guy with a microphone. I do have, 574-651-7685. You can call that number. You can text that number. I will not answer. Probably. Maybe. I don't. Maybe I will. The google.com/voice. For those of you who have my personal phone number, you can always text me or call me. Either whatever you want to do there. Anytime you want. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I still won't answer, but but yeah, you can, yeah, because there are a few people out there that listen to the show occasionally. I probably ticked them all off, but yeah, you can call or write or whatever you do. I may play your voicemail possibly on the show. I may not, especially if you don't ask me to. I won't do it if you don't ask me to, but feel free to do so. Anyway, there you go. If you're out of the country, you don't have an international calling plan, you can go to google.com/voice and you can type your message in there. It'll get to me that way too. It's 574-651-7685. Thanks again for all that. We'll talk about tomorrow's show in just a second. Let's just do this and we'll talk about tomorrow's show.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news.
According to me.
My lowest note that I can sing there. I have tomorrow's show, hopefully we'll be live tomorrow. We'll have a show on Thursday as well. Friday, what is happening Friday? I don't even know where I'm going to be on Friday. Let's check it out. Let's just give the rundown of the week here real quick, and I'll let you know here. It's I believe Friday evening I will be in Central Wisconsin Friday morning. And I should be able to, up in Wausau, the Wausau, Wisconsin area, I should be able to have a show that morning. I get in kind of late that night into Wausau. I'll be there almost all day. But that morning, I should be able to have a show. And hopefully, I think I've got the right, I believe I have the right, is that this the one right there, podcast caller? Yeah, I believe that should be the one right there. That is now on my thumb drive. I'm going to put that on my, I also have it on the, in the cloud as well. And I'll be able to theoretically put that on my laptop. I think it's going to run on my laptop. I don't know, but for sure, I think it will. If it does, then I can actually, there it goes again. Pop that out of there. I'll pull the thumb drive out of this computer and, get it to my other stuff there. So we'll take that along with the trip. So that way I'll have it. You know, 'cause if I take it, I'll have it. That's the plan. But it also should be in the cloud so I can pull it down that way if I need to. I should be able to run it off the thumb drive. Last time I was able to as well. So hopefully it will run on my laptop. Well, actually, I'll have another laptop with me. I'm pretty sure I can run it on the laptop because I'll have a newer laptop, first of all. Taking with me. That's what's coming in today. That's what I got. That's what's on my coming in from what you call it. It just disappeared. What happened to it? There it is. Yeah, it's coming in FedEx today. At some point, hopefully in the next hour or so, then I can start working on it. But the main part of that the laptop is to run my agents off of there. Everybody's running agents off of minis, Mac minis, which is it's a 2 or 3 month wait to get those now. And they're ridiculously priced. They've gone up in price, and they're way behind in manufacturing. The M5 is going to be the one. However, I'm hearing some bad things about M5, but we'll see how that goes. The M4 chip is pretty good. It's pretty solid, and it's that's what the current machine I have here now has an M4 in it. And these laptops will also have M4s on them as well. They're older. They're 2024s, but they're. I got it for a decent price and got them right away. With them. I mean, I should have gotten them last Thursday, but of course, they were behind in getting them out. So I'm getting it this week. But at the there we go again. Let's see what I got going on here. Better check on it. Yeah, okay, that's good. So that's what's happening tomorrow. Well, tomorrow will be a live show, hopefully, and we're talking about a mishmash of a lot of political stuff. going on, as well as some, there's some stuff that has happened at Mar-a-Lago, things there, some of the things that have happened recently with the whole Virginia thing with the Supreme Court, State Supreme Court of Virginia, some things that are happening in that area with the voting rules, and of course, there's Save America Act, the stuff that's happening in California, the governor's race, some of the things that have happened, Minneapolis, Ilhan Omar, all that kind of stuff. We're going to be talking about all that tomorrow's show. And hopefully, one of the other plugins that I'm going to have with the podcast caller, this probably won't be fixed by tomorrow, but might be. I don't know. We'll see how it works out. There's going to be a plugin for an agent. So it'll be actually a director that will, I can ask questions, and it will actually look things up for me in real time. Now that'll be like the third tier of membership, the second tier of membership. The characters themselves will have some agentic ability, but the director will actually be overseeing the entire show, and will actually be a little bit more of a proactive. And you can actually have a conversation with the director. Like the director can pop in, just like Snurdly used to do occasionally with Rush Limbaugh and some of the other talk show guys radio talk show guys. They used to have the director would pop in and talk to him, or they'd ask him questions and he'd have comments. You can see it occasionally on some podcasts in real life and real people. But this will be an AI agent of the same genre, same type of thing. So that's the plan with that, is to have that kind of a agentic workflow. The initial membership is going to be a little bit different than that, but so there you go. That's the whole program, and so we're going to have tomorrow. We're going to have a live show. What else did I say? I was going to say something else about the live show tomorrow. Oh, it will be the last live show, because on the 18th, May 18th, Podbean will stop having live shows. Now, what I might do is switch over to Rumble and just have a live audio show on Rumble without having I'll just record it on there. I'll send the audio over to Podbean and over to Castos. So I don't know how that's going to work as well. There will be times I might have a video of me talking. Other times I'll just have the live show on there. So that will be where you'll have to go to respond and talk. And if there's any kind of, they won't have like a chat box. Well, there's a chat window there, but it's a very different kind of setup. And it's a little harder to find. In the meantime, folks, I hope you're having a great week. I will talk to you tomorrow morning, hopefully around 9 o'clock. That's the plan. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. See ya.